Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another great episode of Tip It Out, your favorite golf show. My name is Ben Foltz. We got Mac Belovich here. Say hi to the fellas.
Welcome. Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Great day.
Special players. We also have a very special guest, the one, the only, David Roney. How's it going?
How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. Welcome, D-Rone.
Glad to be here.
The player formerly known as D-Rone.
Yeah, D-Rone.
Now he has a master's. Also, now you have to call him by his government name.
We have two. We've had 2 weeks here, or two episodes, I should say, here of just the most legendary spouters on the Worcester golf team. this is another one. So I guess we could tack that onto your board as well.
Yeah.
we love it. And then I think Mac had a little intro, I think, too, for who Daniel.
I have you know, we did some bona fides for Evan Jenkins. I figured it was only right to do some bona fides for David Roney. And as we mentioned, all time spouter on the Worcester golf team, possibly ever.
Like an all time.
There's definitely there's some ground to stand on there.
Yeah.
Behind Dan. I also have the second biggest calves in the country, only behind his very own father.
That's true. I was going to say, who is it?
he's also a two-time Grinder Cup champion, and if you put it in terms of win percentage, that is better than Tiger Woods' career win percentage.
That's true. Yeah.
He's well also... said. Ladies and gentlemen, an expert in speech pathology.
My favorite part of David Roney.
Really?
Yes.
Nice.
I like following the LinkedIn, dude. It's fun.
Oh, true. Yeah. Yeah.
Top notch LinkedIn game.
Yeah.
I heard you need to have like 400. I heard for a genuine, like, valid LinkedIn account, you need to have like 400 plus connections, which is wild.
I would not surprise.
I've probably got, I don't know, 150, 200.
Yeah. You're just not valid.
Yeah, I know.
Not valid, bro. Not valid.
I knew him when he only had 150 connections on LinkedIn.
Yeah, exactly.
LinkedIn is not advertising LinkedIn Plus to you, is what I gather.
No, it sure is.
They are anyway. They do anyway.
I considered it for about half a minute. I was like, what am I doing?
All right.
I love it.
Well, now that we got those bona fides out of the way, just to name a few, there's many more, too many to list, to be honest. TBH. But just, you know, checking in with you, you mentioned that you're training for a half marathon. You know, when is it? Where is it? You know, how's the progress coming?
Yeah, I am. It's in Denver on May 19th. It's called the Colfax Marathon, and got a bunch of races. I'm doing the half. That was an impulsive sign up for me. it was like February, and I was sitting here in snow. It was snowing, and I was like, I need to do something hard. And so I did it, and we've been running. I'm a runner now. I don't know how long I'll be one after this, but I am until then, at least. So
I like
how many miles are we doing comfortably?
So right now I'm doing weekdays like between 2 and 6, and then weekends I'll try and up that to 10 or 11.
Oh, wow. Very nice.
My body could not handle it. Doctor's orders, I'm actually not allowed to run.
Oh, that's crazy, dude. Say, so am I. I'm actually not allowed.
Dude, I don't know if I believe you.
I can call my doctor right now. He said, no running. Bad hips.
Well, Mac, yeah, I was about to say Mac probably for his hips. Me, yeah, totally, bro. Totally. Doctor's orders.
No, I've never run before. I've never run before this like that. Like once in a while I'll decide I'm going to go on a run, and then I just like run a mile and I'm like, that sucked. But I'm actually trying to like start doing it.
Yeah.
I like the impulse decision though. That's how you get those things done. Cause you can't sit there and dwell on it. As long as you sign up and do it, you'll end up doing it. But
I'm $150 in on this thing, so I got it.
You have to do it. Yeah, you have to.
$150.
Yeah, dude, it's $150.
Run,
and then I insured it in case I couldn't. So that was another 15.
That's awesome.
So 165, boys.
Yeah, when next, you know, in like a month, he's like, man, I'm not really feeling it today. I know it's the day of the race. I just don't want to get out of bed.
I'm gonna wake up and like sneeze and be like, nah, I can't.
Yeah, never mind. I'm not feeling it today. Hey,
if you learn anything, you always gotta leave yourself an out.
Yeah,
exactly. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Just key is to use it every time if you can.
True.
if you go through the work of putting in and setting up and out, you better use it.
Right.
Have your calves gotten bigger from all this running? I feel like there's no room for them to grow though.
I haven't measured, if that's what you're asking.
You honestly should. I'm curious to know.
I'll let you boys know. I don't know.
Cool. We need some progress updates on those calves.
Yeah.
That's what I started an Instagram account. David Roney's calves Instagram. Okay.
you know those like short videos or YouTube videos where it's like I took a picture of my face like every day for, you know, 10 years or something, and then they like stitch them all together. You should do that with your calves and your training. Day. Yeah, and just watch them slowly grow.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if I'm doing that.
All right. So now we got a good question for you. What's the best comparison for your golf game on the PGA Tour or the LIV? Best pro golfer comp. To your swing, to your golf game.
Is just me?
Yeah.
All right. So that's a tough one. I've gotten this. I've had discussions about this, not recently, but I think it still stands. You know, we're not talking talent here. Just talking how I think I look on the golf course and how my game is. I'd say Dustin Johnson.
That's what I was thinking too.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, for sure.
Yeah. It's the wrist hinge.
Mm-hmm. You think?
That low finish, that smooth take back. For sure.
I was thinking like distance to putting comparison a little bit. Distance, my putting is streaky.
Just copious amounts of blow. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I mean, I want to give a can't keep the hand steady, you know?
Not true.
Yeah.
All right. So then what's your best round of golf all time? Maybe your best score, the best you ever played.
Not, you know, it doesn't have to be your best score though. Sometimes it could be more interesting if it's not.
Like my best round of golf was an 82.
Really? Where?
For sure.
At the Blue Monster from the tournament tees.
Oh, okay.
20 mile per hour wins.
Okay. So I have two answers, I think. I was playing at my home course last year and I shot 67. And that was stoked.
Yeah,
it's just low, you know. It was just one of those days. I mean,
yeah, but you're playing at elevation, doesn't count.
Of course, I know. Like elevation, it's basically 75. But I was still proud. Score wise, that. And then otherwise, I'd say so. I played out at Erin Hills 2 years ago. And I played from the U.S. Open tees just to like see what would happen. I think I shot 81, which I was like sick. Whatever.
That's a long golf course. Too.
It's long, but it's big. It's huge. Like you, it's hard to miss. You know.
That was one of the biggest disappointments. Was when, you know, right before the tournament they widened the fairways.
Yeah.
I remember that whole discussion, and then JT, wasn't it? Who won JT? JT won.
Brooks won.
Oh, that's right. That was Brooks. Yeah. JT was in the hunt.
JT shot something insane on.
Oh, he shot a 63. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. But yeah, it was just like, and then he won it like 19 under. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. I was there.
No way.
You witnessed it.
I was there. I was in the stands.
Can I get a witness?
Yep.
Shout out my boy D-Rone in the stands.
In the stands. It was cold. Believe it or not.
Did you get any time on the broadcast? Can we pull you up? Can we watch the historical footage?
Do we see you just like, you know, got the finger up somewhere behind somebody?
I hope so. I'd have to go back and look.
That'd be cool.
All right. Well, we got the Zurich Classic coming up this weekend, and different event, kind of exciting. You know, something other than 4 days of stroke play, single stroke play.
Yeah.
What's wrong with four days of stroke play? Oh, sorry.
Nothing's wrong with it. Except you don't want to eat tacos every meal.
Fair.
Well, actually, maybe not tacos. I could eat tacos every meal, but
this will be a fun one, though. This is gonna be cool.
But yeah, so you got, you know, alternating best ball and alt shot. But you know, first looks, Fulte, what's a team you're looking out for? Who are you excited about? Who do you think's gonna do well? Who's gonna set off some fireworks this weekend? Geez.
God, good question. There's so many. I get a lot. I've said this for a while now. The PGA Tour is riddled with just really good golfers across the board, and it kind of every week comes down to it could be anybody. But if I really had to pick, you know, disregarding big hitters, I'd probably pick. You know, I did just say disregarding big hitters, but I'm gonna go back on that. Probably the Schauffele and who's he playing with? Sorry, I just forgot. Schauffele and Cantlay. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd pick Schauffele and Cantlay. Cantlay just played well. And the Masters, like, played, you know, has been playing well overall and last week. So I like his and Schauffele due for a lot actually. So
he's the new Tony Finau. Like he just can't get it done.
Whatever happened to Tony Finau?
We don't. The world may never know. Honestly,
we'll never know.
He's just kind of falling off the map. Like, I don't even think he got any airtime during the Masters.
Yeah, not a lot.
Even at the Masters, I don't even know.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he played.
He was definitely at the Masters, but was he actually at the Masters?
I don't know if he was mentally, he was physically there. Either way, is he on a team this week? I think so. I don't remember what the team is. However, Tony Finau would be, you know, top pick, obviously. I mean, he hasn't been playing poorly. He's just been dodging all coverage, probably because – I don't know. He did the Las Vegas thing at the Dome, probably. And now with Netflix, and now their PGA Tour is pissed. That's my pick. That's my pick. I'll hand it over to, drumroll, please, David Roney. Surprise, surprise.
All right. I am looking forward to Sahith and Will.
Yes.
They're both very, very, very good golfers. And I think they like set each other up well. I don't even know how to describe that, but
I agree.
I think they'll do well together. I'm also, in terms of like fireworks, I hope that Reeve and Snedeker can get something done. That would be electric.
Sneds.
That would be sick.
How is he not on the Champions Tour yet? How old is Brent Snedeker?
I don't think he's that old. 40 something? 40?
Let's see. I'm looking it up right now. He's 43. Oh, he's got 7 more years. Okay. He's been on tour for so long.
That's true.
That's crazy. All right. Well, that was gonna be my pick, but I do have the Hogarth twins as my close second.
Yeah.
Or not twins, the brothers. Sorry, Rasmus and Nikolai. Which one was in the Masters? It was Nikolai?
Nikolai,
yeah.
Nikolai. Yeah. I don't know. He was on my team. He did well for me. So
played really well.
He played really well in his first Masters. I was happy with that pick. So, you know, I'm sticking with my big guns, the Hogarths.
All right. I like that.
Also, you know what? quick shout out to the Cootie twins. You know, we'll see what they can get done. Watching Voodoo Gumbo after Saturday. Hopefully they're still around in the mix at the concert at the Tito's 19th hole. We'll see how that goes. They might not even be old enough to drink, but that'll be fun to watch.
What about Bo Hostler and Sam Ryder?
Honestly, that's
a good pick. Yeah,
that's a sneaky pick right there.
Yeah.
Who? You know who else? Keith Mitchell. I know he's in the field somewhere. I think he's got to be.
Yeah, he's playing with Damon.
Oh, never mind. You know what? I changed everything I just said. I'm going with Keith Mitchell and Joel Damon. Cashmere Keith and Joel Damon. That is a dynamic. He's the reason I watch or I wear tour visors now. It's because of Keith Mitchell. I don't have the money to get tailored golf clothes, but
I just saw an article about Keith Mitchell. I think it was Golf Digest, maybe. Keith Mitchell being like the best dressed player in the history of the PGA Tour, and that was like that's a huge statement.
That's a big statement.
Huge.
Who would you say is the best dressed? I mean, besides Jason Day at the Masters.
Are we talking history here? Because I think it's apples and oranges if you're going beyond the '90s.
Yeah, like we'll say pre athletic athleisure wear and post athleisure wear.
I don't even know the answer to that.
There's too many.
I think Roy maybe is in the on the list.
What about Ian Poulter?
Yeah, sure.
Poulter, who's best dressed pre and post athleisure, the athleisure renaissance?
Oh my god, dude. Oh, wow, actually. Oh, that's a good question. No, you guys already listed them. Anybody I would pick, you guys already listed. DJ style has gotten pretty sick, though. I'll give you that. That's He's true. Pretty clean.
Four Aces logo. You like the Four Aces logo?
I don't mind it.
It's honestly the best one. Not.
It is the best one.
All the other ones are you guys already, AI-generated.
True. You guys already said J-Day.
I said besides, yeah, barring J-Day, the J-Day. Masters. Yeah.
All right, okay. I was about to say the airplane pantser, parachute pantser. A good look in 2024.
Mm-hmm. Bringing back the baggy pants.
I don't know what that was all about. I don't know what that
I
was
think
about.
I actually read something that believes they are rain pants that he was wearing because it was supposed to be kind of like wet and rainy that day. Me personally, I still like clowning them for, you know, how big they were.
You can have not parachute pant rain pants.
Exactly. So it's not inexcusable, J-Day, if you're listening to this.
Also, it was bright and sunny. No. He could have taken them off.
But his belt, man, he would have had to do the whole belt ordeal on that live TV.
Whatever.
I know you would be chomping at the bit to get an opportunity like that, but
I mean, Max.
What's that supposed to be, man?
Max's been at a golf tournament before, so
he has been a nuisance creator. So I could see it.
Yeah, they may not let me in at the Masters. They find out I might have to go under a pseudonym.
Have we even told that story on the pod? I think we have at some point, right?
You had to have.
I think so.
Go! If you're dedicated to our craft here, go back and search.
Yeah, let us know,
lovely listeners, and let us know. Episode at 8.
Tip It Out Golf Pod on Instagram.
All right, should we get into a little fitness?
Yeah, a little meat and potatoes of the episode.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Should we dive in?
Well, David Roney came posing a question. We said, well, we have to jump on this. So balancing golf and fitness with a full-time job and just general life responsibilities. I think
it's a loaded question.
There's so many ways you could go with this. Especially the fact that golf takes up at least 4 hours of any day that you decide to go golfing. Yep. If you're not practicing and you're just strictly playing golf.
Yeah.
And fitness and, you know, job 40 hours a week. if not more. And, you know, fitness is another hour, 2 hours almost per day. So I'm going to toss it over to Brony. I want to see how you, what's your kind of routine? What are you doing nowadays to be able to keep your game in tip top shape as well as, you know, have good fitness, maybe besides running a marathon, because I don't think that's everybody's cup of tea, but you know, that is yours. So it still counts, right? So, yeah. so let's hear it.
I know a lot of us are, I mean, at least us and people our age are kind of trying to figure this out who like maybe played college golf. But a lot of college golfers and just college athletes, I think in general, when they graduate, get a job, they're just like living as adults, you know? I've heard a lot of them say like, I feel like I lost purpose. So like, you got to do something. And maybe that's why I'm victim to the marathon thing, but I don't know. Right now I'm doing, I would say my golf game's not where I want it, not playing nearly as much as I would like to. Doing a lot of running, obviously trying to lift during that. That's kind of a tiptoe thing also, because trying to run a lot, but also like stay big, you know, which is hard. You gotta spend a lot of time doing that. And like not getting hurt. Like I was dealing with a little injury at the beginning of this whole training thing. I would say I'm still figuring it out. I don't know. I'm trying different things.
It's a good spot to be at. It gives you, you have a lot of options at your disposal. Currently, have you been able to put everything you want into every day, or would you say that time could be better, like allocated? Like, where do you think the improvement starts from?
That's a good question. So, I work right now. I'm working 4 10s, so Monday through Thursday. Mm-hmm. And what I found early on really with that is that on Monday through Wednesday night, I'm not doing much besides going to work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I get home and then I got to eat something, and then like that whole thing, eating and working out, like figuring that out
takes so much time.
Of course it's all worth it when I get home from work on Thursday night, but I feel like it's just spaced, you know, like if I were to have like a routine, it would still be where I'm feeling like it's too spaced out, you know,
because
when I was in school, you know, I'd lift all the time, you know, and it wasn't, I didn't have consecutive days of an entire week where I was struggling to figure out how to do that.
Right.
So it was just consistent. And I feel like no matter what, this is less consistent. And I know that I could wake up earlier or whatever, you know.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah. Right.
you have to be a different breed to wake up and work out before work.
It's easier said than done. Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. So I would say what I've been trying to do and where I think improvement kind of starts from is trying and doing something every day, no matter what, even if it's half hour.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Do some yoga. That's exactly like getting my home philosophy. And just doing some yoga in your bedroom,
or like a little ab workout or something. Or like I hate this, but I've gone on walks, dude.
Oh, you hate that, dude? Walks are the best. Well, I mean,
Fulty and I had the best walks. Fulty and I had the best walks.
We did have some good walks back in the day.
That makes me feel better. It's like I'll go on walks. I'm like, who?
I do have a little disposition. I did grow up like watching teachers like stroll through the neighborhood, and I'm like, I will never do that. You know, like I'll never be that guy. You know what I mean? And then like nowadays, I'm like, shit, it'd be really nice to go for a little stroll. You know, get some rays on the skin. Doesn't hurt.
It's also hard in the winter too, you know, us, you know, David being in Denver, us being in, you know, Midwest, it's cold in the winter. You don't go outside. So, like, if you want to go for a walk, you got to go to the gym and hop on the treadmill. I'm not going out in below freezing temperatures.
It's not like that here. Like, we get
– you do get 60-degree days.
Yeah. We get a lot of nice weather.
It'll but then snow, you also get days where just dumped.
Yeah. I mean, we'll get snow, you know. Obviously, mm-hmm. a lot of snow. But then the consecutive days after are pretty nice. Even if it's not warm, it's still like a sunny day, and it feels warm because it just snowed, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So I think, you know, tying it back into the fitness combo, I think, because I also use that same philosophy of like, okay, I just want to do something every day, right? And that's kind of whether it's like golf counts for that too, because I think that is a physical activity. Usually it takes a lot out of me. Yeah, right. I mean, even if I'm karting, it still takes a lot out of me. So I'm like, okay. But it also counts as my kind of outdoor time, right? Like, I got to give myself some sort of time to go outside. So, but the balance is tough. You're right. Because if you're working all the time, nobody's going to wake up early. And the thing that I want to mention about the early wake up and lift is, at least for me, the quality of my lift goes way down. Like, even if I go and I'm lifting, like, there's no way I'm putting up enough weight to kind of progressively overload like I need to, and like, you know, do what you need to do in order to get a good lift in. So yeah. It just, even if I was able to do it, it wouldn't work, you know. So,
and that goes back to like the consistency. Like, I feel like I'm lifting a little like twice a week, but that doesn't feel like every lift feels hard,
mm-hmm. right?
You know, mm-hmm. every lift feels like I'm not putting up as much as I have, or like,
mm-hmm.
I'm exhausted during it or something, you know. It's not, it's never
right.
And I don't know why it wasn't like that earlier,
mm-hmm.
but that's how it is now. And I haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah. Probably aging comes into it too. Cause I've noticed that too. Like, it's tough to go in there like 4 days a week after playing golf over the weekend and then working 8 hours every day to go in there and put up, you know, PR numbers or even numbers that are above what I used to do, right? Or what I've been doing recently. So, because you always got to be moving up a little bit in order to get some sort of progress.
Right.
But I think in reality, the solution comes from, at least for me, is some sort of routine, right? Like, if I'm able to play golf all the time on the weekends, like I know Saturday, Sunday are my kind of golf days, then as long as I get some sort of lift in whenever I have time after work or like when I can, then it works for me. But like you say, it doesn't work for everybody. So it's kind of an individual solution, which makes it really interesting because everybody's got their own, you know, their own path.
Yeah. Right. And I think actually, you know, David touched on something earlier that was really, really interesting, that I think we kind of glanced over. It was the fact of like just losing that purpose. And it's different with golf a little bit because it's something you can play until you straight up die. Mm-hmm. Like, there's, mm-hmm. you know, like Evan's grandpa played, literally forever.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was out on the course the day before. But but with other sports, like, you know, like my buddy played lacrosse. Like, finding like a league to go play lacrosse, or like, you know, like just finding these like adult leagues and whatnot is really hard. And that's kind of, you have to like rechannel that competitive drive that you have as a college athlete into something else, whether that be your job or working out. But I think having that purpose, like Fultz, you're talking about, like, you want to go to the gym to get stronger, to, you know, put up more weight each time,
right.
so to speak.
Right.
And like, that's kind of where that competitive drive comes from. And I think that helps you balance it too, because it's really easy to just stop. You know, you're like, oh, I'm tired after work, or I'm tired after my job, and I gotta do the dishes and do this, and you just like kind of fall off. Finding like creating those like small little goals is something that helps. It even helps balance it too, because, you know, you find time, you find those things that you necessarily don't have to do, like doom scrolling or playing video games or whatnot,
mm-hmm.
and making more time in your day for in the more important things like your health, fitness, and, you know, your hobbies.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and for me, at least, it comes down to what makes me feel better at the end of the day, right? Like, if I'm going to lay in bed after playing video games for 4 hours, or, you know, 3 hours, or however long, like, it's not going to make me feel as accomplished as if, okay, I, went to bed sore, woke up sore. Like, I know my body is trying to do the right thing, but, you're right. Like, it's not easy to fit an hour, 2 hour workout into every day when you're working 8 hours. Right. And you have an hour lunch. So I think that that key is really important. At the end of the day, you got to, do something, whatever it is. As long as you do something, you'll get farther than, you were the day before, and it'll make you feel better. And, and also obviously keep you. And then ideally too, if it, grows, you can build it out into a, you get more time. Like, okay, here's an hour every day that I got some more time. But yeah, do something for sure.
I'd say back to that purpose discussion too. I think a big difference is like in when we were in college, we were playing tournaments, and then whatever happened there was kind of representative of like where we're at, And so now it's like, even if we're playing a lot of golf, and like, of course we can play amateur events and stuff, but it's just, again, less consistent. And so there's, I personally, like, I'm very driven by like numbers and seeing my, like seeing stats about myself. And like, that's how I kind of like measure if I feel like I'm doing well, which maybe is unhealthy, but.
Well, as a data analyst, I can say I do the same exact thing, and it is not unhealthy, I think, I hope.
Right. that kind of contributes, I think.
Yeah. But yeah. I think it's also, it's our way of tracking, are we doing what we need to do to be a better human, to be a more healthy person, and, accomplish our goals in life.
Right.
You, Ronnie, you just touched on something that I find really interesting about graduation and just becoming an adult in general. You were like, okay, back in the day we had tournaments, right? And most of the weekends in either semester, they would be very consistent, every other week or every week. What I think is interesting about that is you always feel like you're working towards something. You're always like moving forward, right? When you're in college, and then you graduate, and you're like, okay, well, what do I have to look forward to, right? Like, I was lifting in college for those golf tournaments on the weekend to try to be better during those. But now I feel like I'm lifting just because I want to go lift, not because I have something to like work toward. And I think that's where your marathon comes in as well, right? Where it's like, if I give myself something to work toward that forces me to make goals and that kind of stuff, then it kind of gets my ass in gear. You know what I mean? Because I also do that with myself too when I'm playing like in these golf tournaments over the summers. They keep me like working on my golf game. Okay, well, now over the winter I have something to look forward to. Can I improve from last year? That kind of thing. So you kind of have to create it for yourself though in post-grad life, which I think is really interesting and something that I wasn't ready for coming out of college. I was like, I think it was all just going to be handed to me, but you really do have to go and find it.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I'm a big skier and I don't feel that way about skiing. Like, it's always been non-competitive. Maybe that's why, but it's always been something that I just love doing, and there was no, like, I don't have to be working towards something. I'm just chasing snow, having fun. Like,
It's kind of
a good run or whatever, but like that, there's none of that, which
I think that there's a thing too in my mind of like vacation sports, like like pickleball is one for me. Like if I would never feel like I need to go, practice pickleball. You know what I mean? But like when I'm out there and I'm playing and I'm like, okay, this is awesome. Like I'm never gonna leave.
You think it's because there's like numbers attached to like your golf score and your handicap and whatever rankings?
Probably,
And there's always numbers too, right? Like you're never gonna escape the numbers with golf. Like, like in baseball, right? I'm thinking because there's a bunch of like the fast pitch, the slow pitch, all like softball leagues. You can find them literally at any diamond in the summer.
Yeah.
And it's if you're like a college baseball player, you're keeping track of your batting average and if you're a pitcher, like all your, strikes, ball, blah, 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 strikeout percentage, all that. And you're like looking for where you can improve. But once you graduate, you're not going pro. Like, there's no reason to get better. You're just doing it for the love of the game at that point. And I think that's true with like skiing or like pickleball, the vacation sports, is like, it's more of a hobby at that point.
Right.
You're doing that also, to blow off steam, to stay active, be outside, yada, yada, yada. You're not doing it. Like, for us, golf, and because golf is so attached to numbers and it's something you can play forever, you're always going to want to get better. And that's just the beauty of golf, is no matter who plays it, right, you just want to play better, right? Mm-hmm. It's more fun when you play better.
But also, you could picture like a downhill, Olympic downhill skier, right? Somebody who's, you know, obviously chasing a number as well, you know, getting more distance on every single jump. That for them, that feels the same way golf feels to us, right? Because skiing has ceased to become their kind of vacation sport, right? And now they're chasing the numbers. And probably for them, when they go play golf, they're like, "Ah, this is great. I can do this all the time." You know what I mean? So I think it does. Yeah, I think you're nail on the head. It does come down. It's probably just because you're tracking all the numbers. But it also, I think at heart, it's easy sometimes to feel like it becomes a job, maybe a little bit, you know. Especially when nowadays, you know, being older and everything, you got to pay for it all too. So it especially feels like a job, you know what I mean? But at the same time, I think there's always going to be a love for it. And sometimes it ebbs and flows, right? Sometimes you're feeling it, you're in love with it, and you'll go do it all the time. Or sometimes you're not in a place in your life where you can, but it's kind of just life.
I think that was the beauty of the Worcester golf team, was I think everybody on the team, while we weren't, you know, D1 golfers looking to go pro, we all were there to get better and for the love of the game too. Like, we all live and breathe golf.
Right.
And I think being in that community, being in that like ecosystem, was very special.
And it felt like a job, and I took like a lot of pride in it, and like I think everyone else did. Mm-hmm. And so that's what kind of ends. You know, like the sport of the end, that ends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I wrote a whole post on LinkedIn about that, actually. We're like it feels. Yeah, right. Full circle. That's what we call in the biz a callback. but I was writing about that though, where I was like, okay, it feels like my whole life I've been working towards something, and then now there's kind of, you know, there's, you lose that pride in it almost, you know. Because you got to start building it for yourself. But
I think it's never ending, and that's fine. It's just it's just, we got to figure out how to exist in it differently, you know.
Yeah. I do think a lot of it too, at least in the golf world, is if you're really addicted to golf and you want to play golf all the time, you don't have enough time in your schedule. At that point, it just comes down to financial freedom, which is a completely different facet. You know, I mean, there's an entire world of podcasting about that alone. But that's really what it comes down to. At least if you're going to be somebody who's not on the PGA Tour, or, you know, somebody on LIV or something, you know what I mean? Like, you're not, at the end of the day, you just got to make more money. You can play more golf, or you have more time.
Job's kind of more important, right?
And you gotta work, and you have to work more hours and have less time to lift.
Exactly.
You gotta pay for that gym membership somehow, right?
Exactly right.
Well, speaking of financial freedom, I think this is a perfect tie-in. We have a very, very special guest coming from the depths of the study books, studying for the CFA exam, hoping to take Tippett-Out's finances to a whole new level. We have our very own Evan Ferrara. Welcome for a quick little welcome.
Hey guys,
how are you doing? Myth
legend.
Glad you could join us. We missed you, bud.
Miss you guys too. I'm happy to, very excited to stop in real quick, say hi to my boy D Roney and the rest of the guys.
Yeah,
absolutely.
David, I have a question for you right off the bat. Do you think Scottie Scheffler would have reached this level of dominance earlier if he started looking at the hole when he putted rather than at the ball?
No, it doesn't work.
I forgot about that. I forgot Roney looks at the hole. Do we still do that, Roni, or no?
We still do it. Yeah.
I'm not going back. You never look at the ball that you're throwing. You look at the person you're throwing it to, right?
Yeah, that's the classic argument.
Oh, wow.
If you're shooting a free throw, you don't. What does it look at the ball? You look at the basket.
That's a good point. That's
very
good
sound point. Reasoning.
Yeah.
Maybe Scotty would have won a couple more majors if he did that.
Maybe Scotty wouldn't be complete dog shit at golf if he started looking at the hole on every swing.
I know some people who do it from when they're chipping too.
Ooh, really?
That's interesting. Hey,
if the lie's good, or I don't even know what the process is there, but
that's like Matt Fitzpatrick chipping cross-handed.
Yeah, I chip cross-handed. I look at the hole, honestly, and I'm also balancing on one foot, and then I hit my chip.
Putt, and I also putt left-handed.
Coach out here catching strays. He's an avid listener to the podcast too.
Is he?
Shout out Coach Danch.
Nice.
Hey, shout out Coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually got a text from Danch after the Evan Jenkins episode. And he was like, "When are you having me on? Like, when are we coming on?" I was like, "All right, we're gonna make an episode here. We'll make it a part of our special guest series. We'll add it." But I thought it was pretty funny that he listens as well. For a little context, we were talking about, funny enough, financial freedom right before you joined. But in order to get to that point, one of Ferrar's favorite topics. But before that, we were talking about fitness and kind of a work life golf. Fitness balance. And I guess now that you've joined, might as well get your two cents on the matter. Kind of the full question is, like, really, you know, how do you do that in post-grad life and adult life, working 8 hours a day, you know? And by the way, we've already thrown out the option of waking up earlier. Not gonna work.
You wrote that one off.
Not gonna work.
I don't know. I think living in like Ohio or Michigan, it's like easier to prioritize fitness during the winter months and then golf during the summer months, and like more of like a maintenance workout regimen during the summer and like a more strength gain regimen in the winter. But doing all of that together, if you like lived in Florida, would be, I don't even know. It'd be tough.
That's a good point. Yeah.
But
I think I've got a little mix of that.
Yeah, you do, but then you can ski. But the problem is, like, then when you're not, you're gonna, like, I have to lift, but it's like, wait, but I'm actually gonna go ski. Like,
that's what I was just talking about, that one too. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right.
Because there's too many things to juggle, kind of. But you have a good point though. If you're in Ohio, like, you know, it's kind of easy. It's clear cut what days are supposed to be what. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In the winter, I was working out, you know, this past winter, I was working out 5 days a week. And now I'm getting to the gym 2 to 3 times a week, but I'm golfing 3 or 4 times a week. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I feel like, you can't be like murdering yourself in the gym and then trying to go shoot a good number.
It doesn't work.
It's not going to happen. So
I remember last summer I went to the gym, and then my buddy was like, "Hey, you want to go to the range?" And I was like, "Sure." So I had arms. And then I go to the range and I couldn't even swing the club. I felt like a log. Yeah.
It's crazy. The golf swing is hilarious too when you get to that point. It's very inaccurate.
Did we talk about Roni's, like, I don't know, current? Can we get a state of the union on your golf game right now, David? Did you give that yet?
He did a little bit.
I did a little bit, and it's not great. I don't even know really exactly how it is. It's very inconsistent. I'm looking forward to the summer. I'm so itching to just be consistent with it. And that's kind of why I brought this topic up, you know, because I still want to work and I still want to run and all of that stuff. So
yeah,
do all that.
That's cool. Are you trying to run any races, or like what's your goals with running?
I have a half marathon coming up in May.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Well,
that's new for me. But the golf game, I'll go shoot 75. And then I'm like, okay, so that's what I did in college. And then I'm taking a lot more time off, and that's a whole nother mental thing. I'm like, well, what's going on? Like, why, everything's different, but the number's not.
You know? Yeah. Right. Right.
You just have a lot of more of the, you have a lot more of those no expectation rounds. Right. Like I did that. Right. I did that. First round out this year, I shot 71. I was like, where did this come from?
Right.
Exactly. Immediately went to the websites and started signing up for tournaments. And then I went out and they shot 85. I was like, hold on, wait a minute. Something ain't right. But yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
I did the same thing.
I birdied the first hole, you know? Yeah. Can't birdie the first hole.
I started 72-36 and then went and played TPC with Mac and got my ass handed to me.
Weather was a little bit better.
Still though, you're playing golf. I could have played a little better.
Yeah.
But I was on the tournament.
Big Mac Green.
I know these. I've been talking to these guys about the tournament lineup maybe this summer. Just playing something competitive. I don't know. Is there like a good local Colorado get the juices flowing a little bit at all?
Yeah. So. This one I kind of have some beef with, but the Denver Amateur, it's one of those ones where just everybody like signs up in a half hour.
Yeah.
Well, I've missed it the last couple of years because I went in like 2 hours later.
Yeah, right.
So I've made that mistake before too.
I've played the Boulder Amateur a couple times. That's a good one. Right. The golf course is good. Really good. There's all kinds of little random AMs, which I haven't even really thought about it yet, but I'd love to, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it without being in the right spot with my game, you know.
Right.
Fair. Uh-huh.
Well, you gotta treat it like the marathon. You gotta sign up for it and then work towards it.
That's
you
right.
You get better unless you have that goal set. Yeah,
true.
Like, don't sign up to it if you don't have the time to like work on the game. But if you have time to work on the game, like, it doesn't matter where it is now. Yeah, it's like
there's always time for golf. Come on now.
Yeah.
True. True. Do you have a local Muni kind of close to you that you – it's kind of your diehard Muni? It's where I'm going to go every time.
So I did in Boulder.
Okay.
That's where the Boulder Am is, but it's like a really, really good one.
Okay.
It's difficult. Right now there's a Denver one about 8 minutes that way, and it's fine. It's fine. I'm not so super stoked on it.
Got it.
There are a couple that are pretty good. Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Very nice. Do those have a lot of tournaments there or not?
Yeah, I'd say so. There's always some kind of AM.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I've been planning over the summer. Just those like Cleveland Metro Parks things, but I'd be surprised if they had a Metro Parks league down there, which they probably don't, but they should. Cause they got plenty of Metro Parks down there, National parks, I should say.
Yeah.
Either way, hopefully you can get out there and play some tourneys. That'd be fun.
I would love to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. I have another question for David Roney. Let's say you have 140 yards into a flag flat lie. Are you hitting like 54 degree in Colorado? Or what are you hitting?
40 yards, I'm hitting 50.
50?
50 degrees.
I feel like. And then what about like, so 150, what are you hitting from 150? Pitching wedge?
From 150, it's a stock 50.
Okay. Yeah, the wedge, you got to have the clock, you know, you got to have your 9 o'clock shot. You got to have your you got to have all these different wedge shots in Colorado.
I'll play courses that are normal, like 7,100 yards and I'm hitting wedges into everything, you know. It's just so different. Like, there's a few courses out here that I'll get out to that are like 7,600 yards, and like that's when it finally feels like I'm hitting 8 iron.
Yeah,
crazy. That's crazy.
I know. Still golf.
Yeah, I hit a 360 yard drive the other day. You know how it goes. It's easy.
It's only 290 in. Mostly because the ball doesn't roll, but not playing with you.
All right, hey Farrar, since you're asking all these questions, I'm gonna turn it around on you.
Yeah,
sorry. Yeah, Go ahead, please.
Came in real hot.
Who's your favorite team coming into the Zurich Classic this weekend? Who are you bullish on?
I actually already laid some money on this. before I joined.
Nice.
Obviously. The two Kent State boys are paired together, Connors and Pendrith. So
I feel $10 in that one.
Obviously, I don't even
Shocker. Not Taylor and
I don't even care if they top five. But I do like
wait, those
I
are
do like boys. I do like the Højgaard pairing for like a top 10. Just with the way Nikolaj played at the Masters.
Rasmus like is playing well too.
He made me some money.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. So those the Højgaard
and then if you Dangle messed up the scoring, but
like one of the last people, and I don't know why I did this, but like towards the very bottom of the like odds list was Charlie Hoffman and Nick Watney, and they were like almost last in terms of odds. So I just threw $5 as a little sweetener for a top 10 because their odds were so horrible that I can make $100 for them to do top 10. So
that's sweet. I don't
know. Charlie Hoffman.
Well, Hoffman's been
Charlie Hoffman's golf. Been playing some golf, so like I don't hate it. Nick Watney used to be a dog.
He did
in like 2011.
Wait, Charlie Hoffman. Hold on. What was the not elevated event they played last weekend, or this weekend? I guess
they played the
Corrales.
Was it?
Billy
Ho. Charlie.
Billy Ho shot a 63 on the final day to win.
Can we give a quick little shout out to this dude Miles Russell?
Oh, he's the 15-year-old.
Yeah.
Dude. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
I forgot about that.
He's too young to turn pro, so he doesn't get any points, even if he wanted to.
That's crazy. He made the cut. What did he shoot on the weekend?
I forget.
Who knows?
Yeah, stud. He's got like a good. He's got a good like.
He made the cut.
He gave a good interview. He gave a really good interview. I was like, this kid's impressive.
Yeah.
All right. I hate to keep going back on old conversations, but I was going through this team list again, and I want to go back to that fashion. Who had the best fashion on tour? Mm. And Eric Cole with the dad shoes and joggers might be up there.
Do we have a talk about who's got the best fashion on tour?
Yeah, except – and we excluded Jason Day at the Masters. It's clear number one. Everybody knows it. We're going for silver. It's like a Max Verstappen situation here.
Ben and I were commenting on Scottie Scheffler's walk, and he's kind of like, he's got like a little itty bitty gut, but like whenever he walks, he like makes it a point to like stick whatever little gut he has,
he does,
just like out, so it like makes it look even bigger. I don't know. He's kind of got the like the fat man, like I don't know. That was just I'm like sorry, I already threw some shade. Scottie's too high. I had to bring him back down a little bit. Like he's on Mars. I just
he does. Really he big. Does though. He does, especially after he hits like a mediocre drive. That he like, you know, frisbees out of, and he just like catches the club on his back, and then he starts walking like dragging the club. He walks like I used to walk
like Linus from
yeah
from Charlie Brown.
Yes. Not winning any points on the style side there.
Who's winning? 36 hole match? Nelly Korda versus Scottie Scheffler.
Oh, Scottie Scheffler all day, every day.
From their own tees.
I know, dude.
From LPGA, from PGA Tour tees.
I'd like probably, to watch
it. Probably not.
I'd really enjoy that.
Capital One's the match. Anybody? I would love to
see
that. They would have to do that now. Like, I want to see it now. I don't want to see it. Who knows what could happen in a year? Nelly Korda could still be on a win streak. Who knows?
Yeah.
Dude, a mixed field event, like actual like sponsored mixed field event, playing stroke play, 72 holes. Women play their tees, men play their tees. Like, make
well,
it
they
happen.
Have that. They so have cool. that, right?
Yep.
Well, I can't remember what the term is called, but it's new. But I would love to see Nelly and Scottie.
I know they talked about it, but I don't know. Yeah,
no, they have it. Yeah.
It's not a partner based event. I'm talking like individual stroke play, like
everyone
playing in the same field.
Well,
that'd be cool. I don't know. I just want to like see them compete because I think the women are really fucking good, and I think they could like they could compete.
If you ever want to get better at golf, watch the LPGA. Plain and simple.
Tempo Town,
and on the LPGA tour side. Goes. Tempo Town location LPGA tour.
All right,
love it. All right,
well gentlemen, hey, Ronnie,
good to see you forever.
I want to say thank
good
you for
you,
stopping
gentlemen.
In. It was good talking with you.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you having me.
And the best way to balance life is to have a focused practice.
It's true.
That is true. Yeah, focused practice. Focused practice.
And then, cool. Hey, Ferrara, glad you could take a break from studying to pepper David Roney with a few questions and check in with the Tipping Out squad.
You didn't hear it, but the crowd actually went wild right when you joined. Not quite as loud as David Roney, but it was pretty close.
Well, that was fun, gentlemen. Best of luck to everyone. We'll have to check back in post-summer to see how, you know, the state of the union of the golf. We'll get another state of the union of everyone's golf game.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right, cheers, everybody.
Cheers.